find them. And that's the beauty of good life. People just come and go in, through, out somewhere else. We've been talking about this, being intentional in our response to God. Being intentional. This series that I'm in the second week of, or maybe the third week of now, really was born out of some reading that I was doing and a painting that I have sat and stared at for long hours, a painting by Michelangelo. And the birthing of this was just probably in a lot of contemplation. But I want to encourage you to, in these weeks, be intentional in your response to God. There's five areas that I'm specifically going to be talking about. This is review. Being intentional in praise and worship. Now, when we talked about this last week, I spoke for probably an hour on it, and I'm really going to try not to speak for an hour this morning. I'm going to try. But we talked about a lot of things, and I really would encourage you, if you are not here, go to that link, listen to it, or get the disc and listen to it. Because it is about being intentional, not just about singing. It's about being intentional in our response to the revelation of who God is. Being intentional in our expression of that. So being intentional in praise and worship, intentional in declaration. Today we're going to be talking about intentional in prayer. And prayer is simply interpersonal communication, me, us, God. That's what prayer is. Sometimes our words become, mystical. Then we'll talk about being intentional in serving, which is taking a position of humility in any circumstances and serving someone else. Then we're going to be talking about being intentional in engaging with others, the community of believers, and then intentional in pursuing others or engaging in community outside of the immediate church. Okay? That's where we're headed. I love the scripture in 2 Chronicles that says this, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro across the earth. I was wondering if it was up there for a minute. I just could see this. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth, looking, searching out those whose hearts are toward him, that he might strengthen them. And that's what God's doing. That's what we respond to. He's God's searching. He's looking. And when we just respond, it's like God's like, I see you. I respond too. So this morning, we're going to talk about what it is to be intentional in prayer. Intentional in our communication, in our conversation. When I was young, I was introduced to this prayer, and this is expressed by a young lady.
You can find that on YouTube as well. It's wonderful what you can find online.
You might look at that and just, you know, be like, wow, that's so cute. That's so lovely. Wow, how adorable. You know, we laugh and we respond. It's beautiful. But I wonder if that's really what prayer comes down to. I mean, I love the Lord's Prayer, and that's what we're going to focus around a little bit. But it really, you know, even though we call it the Lord's Prayer, it's actually the people's prayer. It's one that he taught. What is prayer? It's simply communication. It's not the words we use. Again, it's the heart, the intentionality behind it. When Jesus' friends asked him to teach him how to pray, he told him this, and it's recorded in two places. Luke chapter 11, where Jesus' friends come and say, "Would you teach us to pray?" And then it's also recorded in Matthew chapter 6 as a part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus did a significant amount of his teaching, and he speaks it publicly. So he gives it to his disciples, but he gives the same thing to the masses who are listening to him. He says, this is what it's about. And so Luke 11, Matthew 6 is where the Lord's Prayer is recorded. And as the little girl so eloquently put it, the words were, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins or our debts or our transgressions as we forgive those who sin or transgress or are indebted toward us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And then some have added in there, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." But the mainstay of it is recorded there as a prayer, and we'll come to it in a bit, of just dependence on God. When I was a little boy growing up, we used in Anglican church the Australian prayer book. And I remember reading through all the Lord have mercies and the Christ have mercies, and reading through the Apostles' Creed and I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, and getting to the point that every week, sometimes twice on a Sunday, and when I felt very bad, I went three times on a Sunday, but working my way through these, and then the Lord's Prayer became also a part of that service to me. But it almost got to the point, and actually would have got to the point, where I took more pride in being able to memorize it than the heart of expressing it. And I was thinking about it because I remember that I used to think it was really cool to be able to have the prayer book in front of me but never have to look at it. And I'd even look at my brothers to see if they were reading or if they had learned it yet. And I think at that point, I'd lost track of what it was even about. And it wasn't probably till years later that I've recaptured the beauty and the intentionality of those great traditions. What if God actually answered us? What about if we were standing together and we said, "Our Father," and this voice went, "Yes." You'd be like, "Our Father?" He goes, "Yes." You're like, well, I was just saying this prayer. Or do we really expect that God's going to respond? And what if we went through this prayer and God began responding to us through this prayer? If we said, hallowed be thy name, or praised, glorified be your name, and he went, well, what do you mean by that? How would we respond? What about if we come to the point where we say, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. And he says, really? Yes. And then he says something like, okay, then let's start with you. Maybe not me. Maybe we can talk about the nations and the things we'd like to see happen in the world and the things we'd like to see in politics and the things we'd like to see. And he'd come back and go, no, let's start with you. And I love the words of that song that, you know, Craig's been leading us through, that just talks about change the world. And we want to see change in the world, and we want to see, you know, the relief of poverty, and we want to see all these great things. But I love that song comes back and says, start with me. And we want to see sinners, you know, saved, but start with me. And start dealing with the stuff right here at the core of who I am. And so this prayer really begins with the root in relationship. You see, prayer's not about repetition. Where I began with the Lord's Prayer just to become a repetitive part of my Sunday experience until I sort of reclaimed it some years later, many years later. I don't know if it was much better than the prayer flags that flap in Nepal or the prayer wheels on Hindu temples or the multiple time of prayer a day on a Muslim prayer mat or anything else that just becomes ritual. And this is the difference that prayer makes, is when we become intentional about it. Routine and repetition appeals to people, because the more we enter into repetition and routine, we somehow garner a sense of spirituality about it. But when we just focus on that, we miss the intimacy of it. And I hope that we might catch this morning the intimacy of what God desires in communication and conversation and communion with us. You know, there are people that can, you know, get so focused on the spirituality of something, they miss the personhood. What if you were to ring up a friend and speak to them the way that sometimes we pray? And I'm only saying this because I want us to think about the way we talk. What if I was to take out my phone and ring someone? Watch this person have their phone turned off in church. Or is it vibrating in your pocket?
Come on, pick it up. He's refusing. Hey, Stephen, most wonderful Stephen. Could you, Steve, meet Steve, great Steve? Steve, you're the most wonderful Steve I've ever known. But Steve would probably hang up. And then what would happen is, if I, every time I rang my friend Steve and I just went, I have this written, wrote, oh, Steve, you most wonderful Steve, most glorious Steve, I love Steve, the things you Steve. Steve's eventually going to block my number. Because Steve would just be going, Tim, would you just talk to me? Tim, would you cut out all that stuff and just talk to me? Now, I'm not saying that it's all wrong, and I'm not making fun of it, but so often we just become so routine about what we do, we lose the intimacy of it. I never speak to my wife that way. I speak to my wife with an intimacy and a conversation. There are times that, I use Donna, but not that often. Depends on what we're talking about. What I do is I communicate in intimacy. Now, if all you have is, written and routine prayers, start with that, but look for intentionality that's going to transition that to intimacy. Relationship is what matters. God's not impressed with how many words we use or how flowery the words are or the formula of our prayer. Do not reduce God to E equals MC squared. Because a formula is a consistent outcome based on the other factors involved. And if we think that my prayer is God plus this routine is always going to equal this, you became a formula. And God's not about formula. He's about friendship and intimacy and heart response to our heart response. An illustration that I've shared before, but it's worth sharing again, is a time with my daughter. And she's heard me share it before. But there was a time we were at a river throwing rocks in. And I don't know what it is about dads having to outdo their kids. I don't know how young she was quite small. But we started trying to find bigger and bigger rocks and heaving them into this river and watching the kapoosh. We started with little things and then I went and just found bigger ones to make bigger splashes. And when I'm off over, I remember being on the river bed over this way and I found this big thing and I look around and Holly's right at the water's edge with this rock. It was like the size of an ostrich egg. And with her little hands and all her body weight, she just crouched down and she just launched this rock. And all I remember seeing was Holly grabbing her ears and crouching because she knew it hadn't gone that way. It had gone straight up. And I just remember, as if slow motion, she's down, this rock just came and just landed right on the back of her skull. And she just, in this crouch position, just like fell over into the side of the water. And there was nothing I could do. But as she went down, I remember her just, her eyes looking at me. She never said anything, but it was just like this, Dad, something just went wrong. Now,
me as a good father sometimes. Immediately my heart is drawn to my little girl, and I long to be able to do something for her. And I, Jeff, thanks, mate. And I run to her and I pick her up and I cradle her and, you know, do what I can. But what sort of father would I be if I stood there and I watch her struggling and lying in the water, and I just stand there. I say, Donna's going, do something. I'm like, uh-uh. I didn't hear her say, please, Dad. Well, what about if as she went down, she just went, Dad! Would I stand there and go, uh-uh. I told you never to yell at me. What about if she's going down? Would I stand there and wait for her to say, Father, dear Father, something has just gone terribly wrong, Dad, and a rock has just landed on the back of my head, and I need your gracious hand to come this way and save me? Now, you might think I'm being facetious, but I'm not. That's so often how we treat God. And we often pull out our formula little prayers and we race through them word by word by word by word to start the day, and we put it away and hope that somehow our little mantra might have done something. God is about the intimate cry of the heart of his children that long for him and he longs to respond to. The Lord's Prayer is not a prayer of formula. It is a prayer of intimacy. It starts with this, Our Father. Be intentional in relationship. When we're talking about being intentional in prayer, be intentional in relationship. And Cam, I've gone all over the place, haven't I? All right, skip on down. Be intentional in relationship. It says, God, our Father. The word there in the Greek is this word, pater. In the Hebrew, it would be the word Abba. And if you ever travel and are in Greek culture or Hebrew culture today, you'd still hear those same words used of little children. I love when you're in Israel, you hear little children just going, Abba, Abba, Abba. And when Jesus is teaching to pray, and it's translated into Greek in the New Testament, but Jesus in his Hebrew childhood would have just prayed, Abba, Abba. And I have to be honest, sometimes I feel strange sometimes praying Daddy. But I remember a girl that I knew in my youth with the mission days, and she would always pray Daddy. And at first, I was really sort of weird about it. She'd be Daddy, and I'm like... But that's the word that's used in the Lord's Prayer, Dad. My Father. You are in heaven. But it says, hallowed be your name, praised be your name. You know, that intimacy of relationship, I saw really clearly the difference between intimacy and just this idea in a conversation I had a few months ago. I was just talking with someone about life and some things that had happened in life. And this person said to me, I love how the universe works. I said, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by I love how the universe works? And this person said to me, well, I love that I can want and I can meditate and I can desire, and eventually things line up in the universe and it just comes into order. It happens. I said, that's a fascinating concept that you're talking about. You think that there's, you can just throw words out into the universe and things line up and happen. And this person's saying, well, yes, I'm a part of the power of the universe and the continuum of the universe, and therefore I have a say into the universe, and I can cause things to line up. And I'm going, wow. Can I share with you what I think? And they said, yeah, that you can. So I said, well, what I hear you saying is that you throw out things that you're hoping or wanting, and occasionally it happens. Yeah. I said, well, I kind of do the same thing, but I believe that there is a God who knows me personally, who's actually listening to my heart and my desires, and he's answering me in response to that. And this person says, well, it's the same thing. We're just using different terms. And I just felt like I had this moment that I said something clearly. I said, no, I think the difference would be this. I said, you know, you're married, I'm married. How about if every time I came into my home and I was hoping something would be done, I just walked around the house going, wife, wife, I'm hoping that by tonight there'll be dinner on the table, and I'm hoping that by tonight, you know, the clothes will be finished, and wife, I'm hoping that the house is clean, and I'm hoping, and the whole time my wife's sitting on the couch. I said, I sort of feel like that's what you're doing. You're just walking around the house hoping that somehow something might hear you and it might happen. I said, the difference is I would actually go and sit with my wife and say, hon, I love you. And I love our relationship, and I'm hoping we might be able to sit down and eat dinner tonight together. And this person looked at me and went, well, that's interesting. I said, can I leave you with a question? How different would your life be if you were able to personally communicate with the creator of this universe who made you, rather than just generally shouting around the universe hoping that someone might hear you? It's the difference between just this routine thing we might do and the intimacy and God's response in conversation and communication. Abba, Daddy. I would go on to say, be intentional in conversation. I talked about this just a little bit. It's not about the flowery language or the words we might use or the eloquency of it. It is the purpose and the way that we do it. It's not a show. It's not a way that we somehow declare how spiritual we might be. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, 5 and 6, it says this, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues or in the church or in the prayer meetings and on the corners of the streets, that they might be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You ever had a phone call where you're with a group of people and you just go, excuse me, I want to just take this one privately. And you just step away. Or you're going to make a call. And you might be with family. You might even be with people you know well, but you know that the details of this conversation is between you and the person you're conversing with. There are times in prayer for the public gathering. There are times where we share what's going on, but there are times you've got to get away and you've just got to get intimate. And whether that is in your bedroom or in a closet or in the quiet of a living room, or whether it's on the beach or walking by yourself on a path, or whether it's sitting on a headland, it is finding a moment, whether it be in a desert, that you just take the time to converse privately. Conversation. You know, sometimes we reduce prayer to the way we do it, don't we? There are times that we try to get around shouting in prayer. We got to shout. Well, there's times that shouting may come if we're excited about something. But you've got to be careful that shouting just doesn't become your formula to prayer and to somehow express your passion, and you've got to shout. There are times shouting's great. But there are times weeping might be more important. Because if what's going on inside wouldn't naturally produce shouting, don't shout. Because then this external expression is not real. It's not true to what's happening inside. Don't reduce prayer to formula, but allow it to be conversation. I would say on from here, be intentional in personal petition. So I've gone from be intentional in relationship to be intentional in conversation to be intentional in personal petition. This is where I want to focus on the heart or the main part of the Lord's Prayer. Because however many prayers we have written and come up with and we've put on paper to give to people to pray this for this situation and this for that need, you've got to be careful, because Jesus has this time when his best friend said, teach me to pray, he said, pray like this. And it's a framework. It's not something that we just have to repeat all the time to him. But I would tell you this, if you look at this prayer, it is a prayer of dependence. The entire Lord's Prayer is a prayer of acknowledgement of who God is and dependence upon him. That's it. It's not a prayer that declares my standing in him. It's not a prayer that declares my authority in him. It is a prayer that declares my dependence upon him. And this is where prayer needs to remain an intimate relational dependence. This prayer is not about what I can accomplish. It's about, Lord, what I'm crying out to you for. Let's look at it. The Lord's Prayer starts with what? Submission. My Father, you're in heaven. How great is your name. Your kingdom, your will. Not mine. So right from the outset, it is a prayer of submission. Now, what you do with those words is up to you. How you communicate that heart is up to you. But it's about, Lord, you. I love where we spent those moments in the song just saying, it's all about you. It's all about you. Your kingdom come. Father, in that context, I do yearn for the nations. I do yearn for the turmoil. I do yearn for the political powers. I do yearn for those that are in chaos. Your prayer in that moment from your kingdom come explodes into all the things that we can talk to God about. And God, it's never going to be right until we see your kingdom, your will. But it's got to be here. Prayer of submission that says, in me, Tim, your kingdom, your will. We could take a long time on this, because then you can start going, and Lord, show me. Would you put your finger on all those areas where me, Tim, is not submitted to your kingdom, is not submitted to your will? Where am I self-righteous? Where am I so self-governed? Where am I so opinionated? God, would you begin to just show me and transform me? This prayer could take a long time. If we just allow it to be the framework of the heart that Jesus says, this is what it's about. And it goes from submission into a prayer of total dependence. And these are the areas it covers. It goes on to say, give us today our daily bread. What is that talking about? It's not just food. It's everything we need to survive. God, I depend on you to provide. I depend on your provision. And if we're not careful, and please don't, I'm not being critical, but I want to cause us to think. I've seen lots of prayers printed on paper that are all about my ability to call forth reality. And by faith, I will see my cupboard filled. And by faith, I will see my car filled. And by faith, I will. By faith, I will. By faith, I will. And if we're not careful, the center of the prayer is I, and it is no longer dependence on God. It is about what I can accomplish and what I can do and what I will call forth and what I will bring to pass. And be careful. Oh, be careful. Because when Jesus' friends asked him, teach me how to pray, he said, pray like this. God, it's all about you. It is all about your kingdom. It is all about your will. And I need you to provide for me. And I know that this may step on the toes of people's theologies and doctrines, but I really am coming back to the heart of what Jesus spoke to his friends here. And I don't want to have a fight about it. I'm teaching what I believe is truth, and if you want to talk to me, please come and talk to me. There are a lot of doctrines about what we can accomplish. I want to come back to one that's about who he is and what God can do and what he's done in Christ. Because it goes on from provision. It says, I need you to provide, but I need you to forgive me. And I need you to teach me about forgiveness. That's what this is. It's a prayer of dependence that God, you would teach me. You would forgive me and you would give me your heart to forgive as I've been forgiven. It's dependence upon him. I'm not naturally forgiving. I'm not naturally gracious and merciful. My natural nature, according to God's word, and because I watch it, is self. Christ in me is what will bring forgiveness. The last bit there is, keep me from temptation and deliver me from the evil one. And I would say, be careful of modern doctrines in this. I would say, be careful of modern doctrines. And I'm talking about doctrines that 100 years and more recent, that are exciting and we love to take hold of them. But be careful. Because all my crystals and mantras and bits and pieces and special prayers are not what are going to deliver me. It is not amulets, it is not rabbit's feet, and it is not where we would use, and I'm not being ugly about it, but I'm being very real. It is not where we begin to use the blood of Jesus Christ as some amulet that I hang around my neck to protect me. I read a doctrine recently that absolutely made my skin crawl. And it is where it was about praying the blood of Jesus over this and praying the blood of Jesus over that and protecting my children with the blood of Jesus and my car with the blood of Jesus and my house with the blood of Jesus and my job with the blood of Jesus. And they even went on to say that through practice and study and revelation of God, they've worked out that you need to be praying this at least once weekly over your things and over your stuff. And I went, stop! If his blood is not enough to cover my sin, my car and my house and my job and my children, what about my sin? How many times should I pray the blood over my sin? Because Jesus said that his blood paid for my sin once and for all. It was a done work, complete upon the cross. And it's not a good luck amulet that if I hold it and rub it, that my sin will continue to be forgiven. It was done. And do not reduce the blood of Jesus to some good luck charm that is somehow going to protect us from the spooky and the weird and the evil. It is done. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, seated with him in heavenly realms. It is a finished work. And we must be careful about what we reduce Jesus' blood to and what we depend on our authority to do. We must be careful. If you feel that God has led you into that and that that is truth, then pray for me that I might have understanding, and I say that with all earnestness. But right now, I am absolutely convinced once and for all that the blood of Jesus Christ was sufficient to pay for my sin, to deliver me from the evil one. It is not how much I protect myself and do all the things, get up every morning and pray my special prayers. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. My trust is in him, that I am his son, that I am his child who he loves, that when I turn my face to him, when a rock is landing on the back of my head, he rushes to my aid. He doesn't wait for my little mantra prayer to be announced that then he might respond. He is a good father who loves us, who yearns for us, who provides for us, who forgives us, who cares for us, who protects us, who sets his angels watch around about us. This is the God who we serve. He is not a formula. He is a good father. And yes, I'm passionate about it because I think sometimes we so distance God through ritual and formula. Where the Bible says this, draw near to God and he's going to draw near to you. Let your requests be made known before him. He longs to answer us. And I know that there may well be people here that are done with me now, because this is a doctrine that people get so excited about. But I believe it reduces the authority of Christ, a finished work that we will choose to live in. Don't lose it. Be intentional in our pursuit of God. Be intentional in personal petition. Let our requests be made known before God, our every need, our every longing, our every heart cry, our every confusion. Let it be known. And trust that he hears and he answers. And I'll finish with two quick points. Be intentional about intercession. Intercession is simply this. It's a word that often gets thrown around, but intercession is us being the point of connectedness between someone or some need and God. We choose to put ourselves in there and cry out on behalf of another person or a situation, and we become relentless about it. That's what intercession is. It is so on my heart that I just continue, oh God, and I've got a situation, a number of them, but one that I think of right now. That I use my phone and I've got this person that I'm interceding over. I've got some troubling communications from, and they're so full of bitterness and hatred and despair and loneliness and brokenness and laced with profanity. And then after a number of these, I finally get one that's just a phone number. And it's a person that I hadn't seen in many, many years. And I just went, I'm ringing. And I grab my phone and I ring the number. No answer. Leave a message. So I text the number. Leave a message. Then rang and I got to speak to this person. I got 45 minutes that would have been condensed to 15 without the profanity. And my heart aches. And I'm talking to this person and they're telling me how much they hate this God who has done all this stuff to them, and they hate all this stuff I represent. And I'm moved, because last night as I'm going to bed, I just had this real yearning on my heart. And I just prayed for him again, and I sent them a text and I said, I want you to know I care about you and I am praying for you, and I'm praying that God would reveal himself to you. And I got a text back when I woke up this morning that all it said was thanks for that. And I just have to go, man, God, you're starting to answer me. But I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to keep praying. And where I can, I'm going to go and visit this person. I believe God wants to save and redeem. He came for the lost, for the sick. And as intercessors, all we do is we are just a point of connectedness between someone or something and God, and we just appeal to him. Because it's a heaviness on me, and I think God's just, he just responds to that weight on our hearts. And then lastly, be intentional about thanksgiving. Don't forget what the Lord has done. Don't ever forget. And although it's not really listed on the end of the Lord's Prayer, I think it is really good to say, and yours is the kingdom, and it is the power, and it is the glory for all of these things that have happened and that are done. And it is yours forever and forever and forever. Amen. And amen is just saying, and let it be. All that we've chatted about here, God, let it be. All that I've cried out to you over, let it be. Let it be. And if anything, I pray that prayer would be so simple but so intimate. So simple but yet so powerful. Not because of my words, but because of who I am connected to. Not because of my ability to be profound or eloquent, but because of a Father who turns his ear to me and hears me. And I pray that God would be gracious to us. And I really do pray this morning that there is not confusion that is stirred because of this. I have said some things and I've said them strongly, but I believe them in all earnestness. God is sufficient. His grace for every need we will ever face. His forgiveness for every sin that we may ever, ever commit. His deliverance more than enough for any circumstances we might find ourselves in or anything we may be faced with. The enemy is not an equal and opposite foe. He is a defeated, rebellious angel, a created being, a work that is done in Christ. And I pray that he would not stir up trouble in our midst. I pray that there would not be gossip that might run around. I pray that you may not just get upset. But if you want to talk about doctrines, please come and let's talk. And if you want to hold fast to some other things, and you know what, do so. And if you want to pray repetitive prayers, do so. But do it with a deep heart yearning and conviction, because that is what the Lord hears. He doesn't just wait for formula. And so I ask that maybe we can close together. And I pray this, that in fact, we'll close like this. We'll just take a couple of minutes in silence. We're not even going to group up. And wherever you're at in prayer, whether you've never prayed before, maybe you can start with this. Hey, God, I'm trusting that you hear me. And then share your heart with him. Maybe you've been a believer for years and you just need to come back to a simple. Maybe it's time to just go through the Lord's Prayer one line at a time again and allow its implication to wash over us. If you want to do that, you can go to Matthew chapter 6 in verse 9 or in Luke 11 verse 1. But let's close with that, and then I'm just going to wrap it up with a general heart cry to God myself that we can attach ourselves to if we want. But let's just close like that. Father, would you hear our hearts before you? Father, God, you are good. And I do love to acknowledge that before you. You are worthy of all praise, and all honor. And Lord, it's an honor to join with all heaven and all creation and declare how great you are. And Father, I do pray that a real manifestation of your kingdom work and your desire would be revealed, Father, in my life. Lord, in our gathering, in our family of believers here, God, in your churches across this coast, God, in our nation and in the nations. Father, I know your will is good, and I long for your will. And God, though I struggle against it and I fight against you sometimes and I willfully oppose you, in my own actions, God, I ask that your will would yet be formed fully in me and in us. And Lord, I thank you that your will ultimately will be accomplished when you say to your son, go get your bride. And Jesus, you return and you gather those whose hearts are right and repentant before you. And God, you will call all things into order with a new heaven and a new earth, and that day will come. And Lord, I just am so thankful for it. But in the meantime, Father, would you provide for every need that we have, whether it be physical or emotional, spiritual, God, mental. God, we are a people who have great need. And I know that you care about us. You care about things like jobs and homes and food. You care about our health and our children. You care about so many things. And Lord, we just submit ourselves to you and surrender ourselves to you and say, God, in our own strength, there's nothing we can do. But we depend on you. And God, how great is your forgiveness, but Lord, how great often is our sin. And so, God, would you forgive us, but would you teach us the weight of that forgiveness as well, that we would walk in the liberty and the abundance of forgiveness in relationships that we might be in. And Father, I pray if any of us hold any offense in this moment, would you put your finger on it? That, Lord, we might humbly put it right. And Lord, would you protect us? Would you keep us from the evil one? Lord, only you can do it. Only you can set your angels watch around about it. Only you can. And so, Lord, would you guard our hearts and guard our minds? And Lord, would you guard us physically? Father, not because I can conjure anything up or manifest anything, but Lord, because you are gracious towards us and you care about us. And so, dear Father, would you also put us in situations that we can connect people's heart cry with you as well? And God, that we can bear them and appeal them before you. And Lord, for all this and so much more, I say thank you. God, I thank you. And now I pray for us all. Lord Jesus, you prayed for your church. You prayed for your friends. And Lord, I pray for us as a church that God, you would hear us. You would answer us, that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face truly to shine upon us, and Lord, that you would be gracious toward us. And Lord, would you lift the light of your countenance upon us? Would you lead us in all truth? And may we be found to walk humbly before you and in your peace. And in your abiding joy, this day, and from here, as long as we should walk this earth, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to continue this series. And I pray truly that we would be a people who are intentional in all aspects of our relationship with God, and I would say, and we'll come to this, with one another. As we close, let me just also invite youth leaders. Don't forget, you've got a meeting upstairs in about 20 minutes or so. God bless you. If you want to review the words, you can go to that podcast or pick up a disc, however you'd like to do it. Got an exciting baptism tonight too, if you want to come to the evening gathering, 6:30 here. Great things happening. Enjoy tea and coffee and have a great week.